This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yes, it is Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we welcome you in. And as I look, we're in the month of December. Down the stretch we come. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, live downtown Las Vegas there at the D. I'm Patrick Maher. We say hi. It's a Monday, a football Monday. So you know what that means. Steve Fezzik, professionally handicapper, he's going to be joining us coming up later in the program. If the 8.5 cashes tonight, so he's -8.5 with the Jags. That number to close out week 13 right now as they take a look. Let's go ahead and take a look, boys. It's sitting 10, I believe. So yeah, Jacksonville's jumped all the way up to 10 over at DraftKings. We'll get into the matchup. We've got props to play there as well. But Fezzik and Circa Millions, he'll be squawking about it here on the show. He is killing it. And if the Jags cover 8.5, he'll be in first place in Circa Millions. So Fezzik going to stop by. It looks like we're efforting for Dennis Dodd, who does a great job over at CBS Sports, national college football writer. We'll talk about the drama that transpired over the weekend as far as the college football playoff committee. And everybody I know is pissed off about that. But we do have Cincy and the Jags to close it out, boys. 5 weeks after tonight of the regular season remains. That's all. So I want to dig into the playoffs and some odds there. Just to start quickly to set the table, Samich has sent over a few plays for the family today. No Thomas Gable as of yet. I don't want to press the sports and race book director there at the Borgata, but he's been killing it with college basketball plays. The big guy's smiling because he wants to tail the plays. But we have yet to hear from Thomas Gable. Gable, if you're listening, we'll take your plays, even your B or C level plays. NBA-wise, in-season tournament, 8 teams remain. I know you two, I was going to give you a pop quiz. I know you two know this, but the group play is done. So knockout rounds, the quarterfinals. Tonight you got the Celtics and the Pacers. Good matchup with Holiday, of course, and Halliburton, and the Pelicans and Kings late night. 6 on the college wood, college basketball, including Iowa and Purdue. Last time I saw Purdue, I watched them get beat at Northwestern. That's your number one ranked team in the country. 6 on the ice tonight. College football, of course, we wait. 43 bowl games begin on December 16th, but we do have our Final Four set. We have to wait, boys. It's December 4th as we sit here right now in real time. Got to wait till January 1st. 4 Bama versus 1 Michigan, 1.5 with Michigan laying it. Texas 3, Washington 2 in the Sugar, and Texas is laying 4.5, and then we'll have the college football season conclude on January 8th with the national championship. Okay, so we're set. That's me. Amal Shaw, what say you?
It should be a fun month of December. You mentioned, Thomas, probably not a ton of plays in college basketball. This is a very, very light week. I'm actually kind of glad it won't be as much paying attention to college hoops. Schedule really starts to pick up because so many schools are in finals starting the weekend coming up. But the NFL, guys, I tell you what, we're going to get into it in Like, Love, and Loathe. Kansas City Chiefs going with that Patriots blueprint of not bringing anybody on the perimeter to help Mahomes out. We'll get into that a little bit more later on. I've got some points on that one. But this was, I'll tell you what stood out to me this weekend, Patrick. The San Francisco 49ers went into Philadelphia and just laid down a beatdown.
Yeah, and I think that's where we're going to start as we welcome in the big guy as well. I agree with you there. It's two teams that really don't like each other, but all of a sudden, if you take a look at the standings, boys, NFC, AFC, top seed, wide open at this point because, as Maul mentioned, Niners, Eagles, 42-19. We'll get into the specifics because, obviously, the 49ers, big guy Dustin Sweetelson, we welcome you, starting to look like the best team in football after that drubbing of Philadelphia. I don't know who Dom is. Dom is security for the Eagles. Apparently, he's a legend. He and Drake Greenlaw got into it. You probably know because you're better with this stuff than I. But we say, what's up, big guy? What's going on?
He's their security guy. He's in charge of making sure everything goes fine. But he looks like a guy who thinks he played a big part in them getting to the Super Bowl last year. That's the vibes I got from Dom. Very Turtle from Entourage vibes. Like, I play no part in the success, but I'm going to take all the credit.
You're going to take credit for what?
That without his security, they don't win the NFC a year ago. That he seems like that's his mindset. Also seems like might still live at home with mom and dad, but still might drive like a $70,000 Mercedes. That's the vibe I get from Dom.
Yeah, Dom is Greenlaw kind of booped him in the nose there, and Dom was reaching. I was like, what is this dude? Dude, is he on the coaching staff? And people were tweeting that he is security. So it was weird to say the least. Okay, let's get into it. So Niners, Eagles, and that will take us, boys. We've got, as Amal mentioned, like, love, loathe coming up here on the program from the weekend and week 13. That was, I mean, if you just, I'm top of mind right now. So the Patriots lost a game 6-0. So they've lost three straight games where they've given up 10 points or less, which is disastrous. The Detroit Lions, just top of mind, they were up 21-0 in the first quarter. And then all of a sudden I turn around and that game's tight towards the end. Continue with the Gardner Minshew, absolute superstar run as a backup quarterback. So we'll have plenty to discuss. But the Niners, who started slow in this one, them all ripped off, I think it was 5 touchdowns and 5 drives. Maybe I'm shorting them one, but they just went on an absolute roll. 6 straight possessions as far as scoring, and 6 straight. Debo with 3 times in the end zone. Brock Purdy, 4 touchdowns. Again, and it's funny with Debo, because remember, after the NFC Championship game last year, he was tweeting about the fact that if they had Brock, it would have been a different story. They showed and proved, obviously, at the Eagles, 42-19 with Brock Purdy. We mentioned the Greenlaw aspect of it. Kind of like the fact that these two teams don't necessarily love each other, but here's the difference in the game. They held Philly under 50 yards rushing, so they outgained Philly on the ground. San Francisco 146-46. What fascinated me was when Hurts got injured and he came back. Like, what was Sirianni doing? Like, this game was untenable at that point. He comes back, but Hurts, it's kind of been a theme all year. Is he banged up or isn't he?
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I tend to agree with you. No reason to bring him back in. It was 28-13 at that point in the fourth quarter. You don't feel like they had an opportunity to really come back. I thought this game was won by San Francisco in the first quarter when they were struggling on offense and the Eagles were dominating the time of possession in the first quarter, but they hold them to 2 field goals, 26 and 39 yards, and that kept them in the game. I get being down 14 doesn't mean the game is over, but it felt like it gave the 49ers a lot more life. One drive, they take the lead. And then from there, as you alluded to, this team just gets on a tear, 5 consecutive scoring drives. But what a difference this team is when they're healthy. Trent Williams, Debo Samuel. I mean, these guys are absolute difference makers. Not taking anything away from Brock Purdy. And I hear he's in the MVP conversation. I'm not a buyer on that. But to me, when you look around the talent on this team, they are very difficult to beat. And Patrick, you mentioned a minute ago, the AFC and the NFC right now up for grabs. Miami, Jacksonville, Baltimore, all teams with a ton to play for in terms of home field advantage, that crucial bye. Now the Philadelphia Eagles, who missed a golden opportunity yesterday with a victory, could have cemented themselves in the NFC. Now they really have to make sure they play well. This is a team, guys, that could go from potentially the number one overall seed in the NFC to the 5th seed very quickly if they're not careful.
Yeah, we can talk about the machinations as far as the postseason. It's weird for San Francisco too, big guy, because I think they were like minus six as far as total yards first quarter, and then the next 3, they just boat race the Eagles. And the Eagles have the best record in football, but we'll get to the schedule because the next 2 weeks are a bit of a gauntlet. Then it kind of eases up for Philadelphia. But the defense allows touchdowns on 6 straight possessions. They had missed tackles all over the place. The 49ers right now, healthy and clicking, no doubt.
Yeah, let's hear from Jalen Hurts. You guys asked, why did he go back into the game? Reporters kind of had the same question for the Philly quarterback, and here's what he had to say yesterday.
It's not about showing anybody anything. It's more so the game's not over. So, you know, just trying to keep fighting.
And I play that because I listened to all of Nick Sirianni's press conference after the game, guys. And if you look down at your rundown, you will not see a soundbite from Nick Sirianni, because I thought he kind of stunk in the postgame. Not like overtly rude or mean or down, but just didn't really say much. Just said, you know, they were better, they beat us. And I think there's a dichotomy with him, Sirianni, from when they win, they lose. He's a good front runner. He's good at being rah-rah and in your face and letting you know how great they are when they lose. He's kind of vanilla. Whereas Jalen Hurts is the real leader of that franchise. He's kind of even across the board.
You calling Sirianni a buster?
He is teetering in between that
donk or
that
a bust
line of donk and buster. Like, when he wins, he's only a donk, but when he loses, he goes full buster.
All right. What else from this one? So you take a look at the schedules. So you now have a Philly team that still holds the one seed, right? But they've got, they're at Dallas. Now, also, if you think about it, the Niners put a beatdown on the Cowboys, and now they put a beatdown on, obviously, Philadelphia at Philly. But you've got a 10-2 Eagles team. They're at Dallas next week. And then Seattle, but then they've got three straight wins if they need them. So they're going to get to 13 because they got the Giants, the Cardinals, and the Giants to close out the year. The assumption is they go 3-0 in those. So 13-4, them all, worst case scenario for the Eagles right now. Dallas and Seattle up next.
Yeah, but I think this game against the Cowboys is crucially important for a couple of reasons. Number one, not only for the NFC, because the 49ers now, by virtue of the head-to-head, would wind up ahead of Philadelphia. But more importantly, you win this game. I think, Patrick, Seattle is just not as good as people thought coming into the season. I was not high on this team. I didn't understand the affinity for them. They're sitting at 6-6, and Geno Smith is still the quarterback. Philadelphia wins this game, in my opinion. They're going to win 5 in a row to close out the year, as you alluded to, this schedule. But what an important game. They're dogs on the road against Dallas, but this is going to be not a must win, but an important game. And it's so crucial because you get that one less game in the playoffs. I think that's what's such a key element to getting to the Super Bowl and then the road having to go through Philadelphia.
So check out the NFC and we'll come back and discuss. The NFC right now, the Eagles 10-2, San Francisco 9-3, the Detroit Lions roar 9-3, and Dallas 9-3. After that, everybody, including division leader Atlanta, 6-6 or worse. We'll come back and discuss the NFC, then flip to the AFC, starting off sharp money here.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
All right, Christmas has come early. The college football season is here, and we're going to give away the guide for free. As long as I've been here, we've never done this, but it's never more pertinent or more important because, remember, Caleb Williams just said he's sitting. So many players, will they or won't they? Let us do the research for you. If you're not a VSIN Pro subscriber yet, that's okay. We're giving away this year's college bowl betting guide to everyone. We have spreads, totals, expert picks from the Golics, Steve Mackinnon, and Brent Musburger for every single bowl game. Put a bow on this bowl season and get a free copy of your VSIN College Football Bowl betting guide. Absolutely free. It's a great deal. It's a great deal because it costs nothing. VSIN.com/bowl guide and get your free copy today. Go check it out. VSIN.com/bowl guide. We're back. I'm Al Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, live in Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the aforementioned Los Angeles. We've got week 13 concluding tonight, boys. In Jacksonville, that number's all the way up to 10. Cincinnati and Browning in town, a low total of 40 for these two. Obviously, our Bengals ticket down the toilet, and so the Bengals season as well. But that number's all the way up to 10. We'll get into it. May want to attack it a little bit differently with the big daunting number into double. So we shall discuss. Steve Fezzik's going to join us coming up later on the program. Dennis Dodd, potentially, to talk about the college football drama. But of course, it's a Monday here on Sharp Money, and the NFL absolutely dominates everything. So that's where we're at. I was just taking a look at this. So we'll get to the NFC odds. So obviously right now at 10-2, the Eagles, even after the drubbing yesterday, kind of hold on by a thread to that top seed and a potential bye. The 49ers 2, the Lions 3, the Falcons, someone's going to win the South. Historically, the worst division potentially ever. The Falcons are 6-6, so they're a 4 seed. The Cowboys at 9-3 or 5. And then take a look who's 6-7. The Vikings and the Packers. I bring that up because I know, Dustin, you want to talk about the MVP market coming up in just a bit, which is shortened up for Brock Purdy, and we will get to that. But also, how about the Coach of the Year market? So, and we don't have to get into it because I want to talk more about the playoff teams. But if I told you guys right now that Dan Campbell is 2-1, still by far and away your favorite to win the Coach of the Year. And then you just take a look at his own division. The fact that the Vikings and the Packers right now, if the postseason started, the fact that those two are in the postseason, don't we think LaFleur and O'Connell have done a better job with way less talent and much more injury? I mean, that is, to me, Amal, it's pretty clear. The Vikings and Packers, their coaches, have had a better year than Campbell, whose team has given up 30 plus points over the last four games.
I would agree with you, and I thought it was a failure by Jameis Winston late in that game. I thought New Orleans was in a great position to be able to win that football game. I just don't understand what the criteria for NFL Coach of the Year is. You know, the guy that I would point to, we talked about Mike Tomlin. Fine, this team has fallen on hard times with Pickett going out. They looked anemic yesterday. How about D'Amico Ryans? They've got seven wins. They had seven wins combined the two previous seasons. I mean, at some point in time, do we not give credit to teams that don't come in with a ton of talent? C.J. Stroud is on pace to potentially be the first quarterback in the Super Bowl era to lead the NFL in passing yards. You've got Nico Collins, a guy who nobody would have taken on any other team when you look at Detroit and what their talent is around Dan Campbell right now. So I don't know. You know, look, comeback player of the year is Damar Hamlin. The guy's played one play instead of John Metchie, who overcame cancer. I mean, to me, when I look at some of these things, I don't get some of these awards markets in terms of how they're setting them. Dan Campbell at 2-1, he's got a team that was expected to win the division.
Yeah, it's almost like they set the perception, they set the number before the season starts, before he's won or lost a game, and says, prove us wrong, because this is who we want going into the season. Yeah, you take a look at the market right now. You mentioned D'Amico Ryans, who's 3-1. I don't even know if D'Amico Ryans done the best job in his own division. Look at what Steichen's doing right now.
That's
not
true.
To take anything away from Ryans,
no,
who's
right.
Been amazing. McDaniel at 4.75. Matt LaFleur. So we mentioned that. And Amal, you mentioned last night with the Packers, Jordan Love, it's Samich was sending the, and he deserves to send the gifts to us, because now they were going nuts and comparing him to Favre and comparing him to Rodgers, but there is something special about the way he's playing right now. And the young receivers were electric in that one as well last night. And all of a sudden the Packers, after the win against Detroit on Thanksgiving and win against the Chiefs, Love 25 of 36, Dustin 267 and 3 scores, the ball all over the place to the young receivers.
Yeah, but this is why I think Matt LaFleur can't be your coach of the year, because I'm starting to look at Jordan Love and think that the reason he didn't look good to start the season was because of the coaching and because of the game plan. And it took Matt LaFleur time to figure out how to use him. It's not really a knock on LaFleur. That's just what's going to happen in a transition to a new quarterback. But I think that's why he's out of it for Coach of the Year. However, the one thing I'll give Jordan Love credit for right now is this team is very alive in that NFC. They are a dangerous team. They are red hot. And you have to remember how young this squad is. His receivers and tight ends are like the youngest in all of football right now. A lot of first and second year guys, and they've all kind of figured it out together on the fly. So we don't even know what their ceiling is yet at this point. They're just getting going. And the way this team has looked post-bye, starting with that Thanksgiving game against Detroit, it is a totally different Green Bay offense, and it's scary.
How about the fact they haven't even had their best player, Aaron Jones? I mean,
true.
To this last night without him, I mean, this is impressive what Jordan Love has been able to do. 8 touchdown passes in the last 3 games, all victories against the Chargers, Lions, and against the Kansas City Chiefs. And Patrick, take it one step further. When you look at the Chiefs and the Lions, these are both teams going into their respective weeks against the Green Bay Packers were competing for the number one overall seed in their respective conferences. So really an impressive job by the Packers.
Yeah, and the only thing I would take away from last night, I don't know if you guys have heard anything, but Watson, who had 2 of the 3 scores last night for the Packers, the hamstring. Now, isn't that the second time he's popped it this year?
Yeah, he was out earlier.
And it was
Dustin,
scary.
Have you heard anything as far as his prognosis?
I haven't seen an update, but the injury was scary because at first when I was watching it, like out of the corner of my eye, I thought he went down and slid for some reason. Like that's how like immediate whatever happened to his leg was. I do have Jordan Love after the game that I would like to play for you, though, because the QB spoke with the media and said beating the defending champs was a big deal for him.
Yeah, it's huge. You know, for me personally, it's just, obviously, I've had this game, you know, circled for a long time. It's my first start. Obviously, didn't play how I wanted to the first game. So being able to see these guys again and get the victory is huge. You know, it was just a great team win tonight. You know, everybody just balled out. So, but it was an awesome win.
It's not just the offense, though. They held the Chiefs to, what, 19 points? Not too bad for a team. If you're going to go through this grind, long season, attrition, you want to start peaking as we round the corner into December, and that's exactly what the Packers are doing right now.
You're absolutely right about that. Just 210 yards passing for Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, normally you wouldn't use the word just when you're talking about a quarterback anytime you get over at least 200 yards. But Mahomes has been negated a little bit. And you got to give this Green Bay team defensively a ton of credit. And the other thing that I like about this team, guys, they never trailed in this game, right? They always played from out in front. It was a great situation to be in for Jordan Love, the young quarterback. And the one thing I have to give him credit, I didn't have an opinion on Jordan Love at all. I didn't really see him much last year. And the Packers have been down from the jump, so I haven't paid that much attention to him. But he has really come on, and I was impressed with him on that Thanksgiving Day game. And now to be able to stack back-to-back victories over Detroit and Kansas City and play particularly well, I think it only bodes well for his confidence and where this team is going forward. Patrick, you mentioned it. In the postseason, they become a legitimate threat. That's a team you don't want to face off against.
Dustin, you're more of a told you so guy as opposed to an I was wrong guy. But you and I, we both have to, I don't know if we have to buy Samich dinner, but we unmercifully crushed him and clowned him for his Love take.
I'll admit, I said at best, Jordan Love was quarterback 17, but probably somewhere between 17 and 24 in the league. I will admit I was wrong. He's currently quarterback 16 for me.
The Packers are going to make the postseason. Look at this schedule. They're going to make the postseason, boys.
I got a juicy number for you.
They're at the Giants. You. They host Tampa. They're at Carolina. They're at Minnesota and Chicago to close out. Go ahead.
They're making the playoffs. Like, that's just established, right? Like, we're accepting it. The NFC stinks. They're definitely getting in. They're going upward. There's a lot of teams that have either stayed stagnant or are kind of getting worse as the season goes on. They're being exposed more and more. This team's only getting better. I got to tell you guys, a 35-1 ticket on the Packers is not the most crazy thing in the world when you consider them in the postseason. I know it's a really tough sell to some people, but 35-1, I don't trust the Cowboys. I don't trust the Lions, especially if they meet up with the Packers again. You're just worried about the Niners or the Eagles, but we saw last year anything can happen.
If I said that about the Lions, you'd say I was sandbagging. Watch your mouth.
No, I'm kind of over the Lions. I'm over Jared Goff.
Why? They ruined your Thanksgiving?
Actually, they did. They were all I had on Thanksgiving, Patrick. I had no friends. I had no family. I had no turkey. I had the Lions, though, and I had a lot of bets on the Lions. And you know what happened? They let me down. Very important day in our nation's history, and they let us down.
It does feel like the Packers, of the remaining one, two, three, there's three wins there. So nine at the very least for the Packers. Okay, we'll continue with the NFC, then flip over here to the AFC. Remember, Fezzik stopping by. He's got a lot of good lessons for new bettors today, and potentially Dennis Dodd. Sharp money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge this college bowl season, the VSIN experts have got you covered. Become a VSIN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer only $9.99. VSIN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSIN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving for every game. And our college bowl betting guide, where you get the picks for every bowl game, which is free. Don't miss out on this limited offer. Visit VSIN.com/subscribe today to sign up for as low as $9.99. Become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Got you back here. I'm Al Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. Hope you had a nice weekend as we open up a new week here on December 4th. We close out week 13 in the NFL. This one on paper looked awesome early in the year. Then Burrow goes down, and now it's not so much. Cincinnati and Browning at Jacksonville and Lawrence. Number all the way up to 10. Got a total at DraftKings of 40. So we'll close out week 13. And as I mentioned, boys, 5 weeks of the regular season remain after tonight. And one of the teams, someone's going to make it from the NFC South, maybe unfortunately, the Falcons. Like, if you didn't bet or have fantasy interests in the Falcons Jets yesterday, and you just sat like, and I just took the remote control away from you, made you sit through kickoff, commercial, comeback, commercial, made you sit there and watch it. Now, we say we love football, but do we? Because if you had to watch the Falcons 13-8 winner over the Jets yesterday without gambling interest, without fantasy interest, and without a remote control, could you make it?
No chance.
Well, could you imagine having to explain to a foreigner, right? Like, we talk about how, like, all these other countries love soccer. And a foreigner came over, and they didn't know what NFL game they're going. They're visiting New York. And they're saying, well, part of our tourist experience, like when we go over to England and take in a soccer match, let's go check out American football. I'm in New York, so the team in like the biggest city in the United States must be awesome at football. They're taking on a team from Atlanta. Sounds like Atalanta. I know that's a soccer team. I don't know where Atalanta
is. It is. Yes, good job, big guy. They're playing right now. They're playing Torino right now.
So imagine you're a tourist. You're like, I'm going to buy tickets for this New York American football game, the Jets and the Falcons, and you go see that, you leave that game going, I don't understand why they like this sport.
Well, first off, you have to go to MetLife, which is a dump, an antiseptic, so you can probably get a dental cleaning while you're there because it's just so sterile and terrible. But you mentioned it, 13-8 winner for the Jets. Now, the Jets have problems at quarterback. I don't think Boyle is the answer. I'm not sure Simeon's the answer either. Those two go a combined, let's see, 19 of 38. Not great, but the problem is Zach Wilson, who's obviously a better option than the two of them, he's now reticent about going back in there. Apparently, the Jets want to play Wilson, and Wilson's like, nah, I don't know. I think I'm good. So here comes the Falcons. They've won back-to-back games for the first time since their 2-0 start. So now they've got the Bucs and Panthers on tap. The Falcons have a chance to put together a little bit of a streak here, boys. My assumption is 8 wins could win that division. It is a horrific division, but right now the Falcons sit at the top of the division, the South in the NFC. They got the Bucs, the Panthers, the Colts, the Bears, and at the Saints to go here, Amal.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, Desmond Ridder yesterday, horrific in that victory, but this team has an opportunity and is such a bad division. Really, you chance to eliminate Tampa potentially if you are the Atlanta Falcons here. You'd go up 2 games, get the head-to-head victory, and I'm trying to think back when they played earlier this year. I think they beat them. So now you would put yourself 3 games in front of Tampa with a victory on coming up on this Sunday. So good opportunity at home in this matchup. And the Falcons, it'll come down to the last week of the regular season, I think, against the New Orleans Saints on the road. I still believe, I don't know if you guys agree or not, I still think the Saints are going to win this division despite the fact that Derek Carr can't stay healthy. And the Saints decided to spot teams 21 points in the first quarter on their own home field.
Talent-wise, I don't think you're wrong. I mean, they are the best team in that division. Look who's lurking. So Amal mentioned, big guy, the 5-7 Saints. I'm going to go ahead and eliminate Carolina. They're 1-11.
Well, they're eliminated from postseason play. They're officially eliminated.
The only question now is there is going to be the coaching's been horrible, but the Bryce Young conversation is going to be interesting in that front office, although obviously don't have their own first round pick because of that issue of Bryce Young. Your Tampa Bay Bucks, aren't they just a game out? So 5-7, your Buccaneers. I've been hating on Baker. Baker's been fine. Do you guys see Mike Evans just went over 1,000 yards receiving for the 10th straight year? He's a Hall of Famer out of nowhere, kind of quietly a Hall of Famer.
I've got a lot more on Mike Evans later for like love and loathe because he was spectacular yesterday. But to your point about this, look, I might need to hedge, right, my ticket. Tampa Bay plus 320 to win the division. It's not a huge ticket. It's plus 320, but I might as well just lay, either lay it or go money line on the Falcons this week.
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity to do that. Or depending on the price on the other two teams within that division.
Falcons are minus 180. Saints are 4-1.
I'm shocked that the Falcons are that price.
Minus one, dude.
Because have you guys looked at the Saints schedule?
What's the Saints schedule?
They've got the Giants, and then next week on deck, they've got Carolina.
Oh.
Back-to-back victories right there should put them at 7-7.
Well, I mean, you've got right now, you've got four teams tied for the final playoff spot in both the AFC and NFC, and then six teams separated by a game for the final spot in each conference. So you're right. You've got in the hunt, the Rams 6-6, Seattle 6-6, Tampa 5-7, New Orleans 5-7.
Well, and what's interesting about Atlanta, right? We've documented on this show Desmond Ridder at home versus Desmond Ridder on the road. They finish with two on the road, one in the elements in Chicago, and maybe that Bears offense, you know, continues to trend upward and look a little bit different. Can't imagine Desmond Ridder is going to be a favorite in that one on the road at Soldier Field on New Year's Eve. It's going to be like -2 degrees.
If you're a Jets fan and you were preparing like yesterday, you're at that time 4-7, and you're like on Long Island.
No.
With your family packing up the car to drive to MetLife to watch them play the Falcons? Like, I just don't even conceptualize it.
I'm with you on that one. What is the conversation? Kickoff is 1 o'clock Eastern. Are you getting in the car at 10:30 and going, hey, guys, we got some tickets. We're going to drive over to MetLife. We're going to see offensive explosion between Desmond Ridder. I can't even remember the other quarterback who started for the Boyle. And then Trevor Siemian. I mean, come on.
I can't condone binge drinking, but if you're not going there to get hammered, and again, not condoning any of it, but if you're going there and you're stone sober and you're sitting there watching a game with like a hot pretzel, what's going on with life?
Well, no, but like, aren't they used to this? Why wouldn't Jets fans be used to this at this point? You go there, you tailgate with your friends that you see once a week. It's just to get together with friends, as Patrick said, to get hammered, complain about the Jets, take a like... At least that, like, nothing else in your life will be as disappointing as the Jets are to you every week.
Yeah, but then why not just go to a bar in the city or somewhere else instead of getting robbed for overpriced beers and pretzels and fight the traffic?
If you already have season tickets, you're screwed.
Sit in that overcast weather. And then here's the worst part of an NFL game, those three-minute commercial breaks before you get to see Desmond Ridder incomplete passes.
No, I mean, look.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing more boring than going to a legitimate Super Bowl.
No.
Why would a regular season game between the Falcons and the Jets be entertaining? Because the Super Bowl is laborious.
No, I don't understand.
I know I sound like an ass.
No,
you're not wrong.
I think all three of us are in agreement that going to an NFL game sounds like the worst day ever. Because you go to the early game, well, then you miss all the other games happening in that window, and then you're going to miss the late window, most of that game driving home, especially in New York where the traffic's crazy. You go to the late window, well, now you're tailgating before that, so you miss the whole early window, and then you miss a lot of that late primetime game on the way home.
That's my argument for not going to games. If you're going to go to a game, I mean, the one was to go to this past Friday night here in Vegas between Oregon and Washington.
And then you watch the game in the stadium, and if there's a dramatic play where you need replay to tell you what happened, you have no freaking idea what's happening on the field.
There's only one person that can save the Jets, and he's on the Dustin Ryder die list, random Ryder die list, which I came up with last week. So here's Dustin's just kind of random Ryder dies. Like, if you bring up this person, he's going to fight for him. RG3.
Yes.
Maybe the wackest human on the planet. He's good.
Love him.
Dan Mullen.
Love him.
Donk. Good guess, but kind of a donk. Comes on telling stories. Loves to hear himself. Frank Reich. Ride or die randomly.
Love him.
Just out of nowhere.
Good
person. And then the king of random ride or dies from the big guy. This is the only person that can help the Jets. Bring back Herm Edwards.
He's above this team right now. They don't deserve him.
He was on Sharp Money last week. He's not above anything.
He's above this. He had Chad Pennington at least.
He said yes to you texting about coming on Sharp Money. I think he's below most things.
My guy Herm.
Just somebody writing. Somebody write. I'll say yes.
My guy Herm is the golden era of Jets football. Don't give me Rex Ryan.
Yeah, you're probably right. No. Rex was the back-to-back AFC championship.
Yeah.
And Rex had the toes.
Yeah, that's the problem. Can't trust him.
That added a little spice to the situation. All right, let's switch over. That's the NFC. We come back with the AFC here. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shah on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, DraftKings, bet $5. You can do it tonight on Monday Night Football and get $150 in bonus bets instantly when you use the promo code SHARP. This is for new customers. Download the DraftKings app. And again, $5 gets you $150 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, everybody, every day at DraftKings, a no-sweat, same-game parlay. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome you back. We've got professional handicapper Steve Fezzik joining us, who's doing great with Circa Millions. He sent over a bunch of copious notes as far as how to attack a game like tonight. Just a little bit of a teaser. He says you're late to the party, but we can explain how to fix that moving forward. Potentially Dennis Dodd with all the college football drama, as we now have a bit of a respite before, although you do have Army-Navy coming up. Now, AFC playoff picture. Right now, boys, the seven teams, the Dolphins are sitting one, the Ravens, so you've got your four division winners right now, the Jags at three, and the Chiefs at four. Rounding out the Steelers, who just got absolutely boat raced at home by the Cardinals, the Browns are six, and the Colts somehow are seven. So just one of the ones that stands out to me, and you guys can fill me in on what jumps out at you, if you just take a look, big picture, and zoom out at the AFC, is the four seed. The Chiefs lost last night in Green Bay. We get that. They're 8-4. But if I told you before the season started, the Chiefs would be 8-4 on December 4th and be running away with the division, that division with the, well, Denver Broncos, who a lot was expected, but the Chargers, who are 5-7, the Broncos 6-6, and the Raiders 5-7, to have a comfortable lead already early December, Amal, just 8-4, bit of a shocker there in the AFC West.
Yeah, I would completely agree with you. Denver really missed an opportunity yesterday in Houston, because that was a team you're contending with for the wild card situation. And imagine if they had gone to 7-5. I mean, they would be right there on the heels of the Kansas City Chiefs. So interesting that this is a missed opportunity for a team that got off to such a bad start. That 70 points that they gave up to Miami, completely different team defensively now when you look at them. I thought Houston had an opportunity to put them away early yesterday. Didn't do so. Russell Wilson winds up with three picks yesterday, but Broncos are not out of this thing. And the AFC, as you alluded to, I would have never thought in week 12 that the Kansas City Chiefs are sitting as the four seed in the AFC with a quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, who has never played a road playoff game in his career.
No doubt. Yeah, absolutely. It's a good point, too. And just the skill position right now, he's trying. He's trying his ass off. Dustin, you just sent me this. Speaking of the AFC, Robert Saleh, or Saleh, one of the two, was asked if Rodgers could play this week, Aaron Rodgers. And he said, quote, "Don't hold your breath." Are you trolling me while Saleh trolls everybody by sending me this?
Just
no chance he plays.
Well, I think this show has been out in the forefront of covering this story, that there was no chance Aaron Rodgers was coming back and playing games for the Jets this year. It wasn't physically possible, and the Jets weren't going to be in it. It's been over for a while there.
You know, I think the
you know what stands out to me about that injury is like everybody's reaction to the injury. I don't have context because I've never ripped an ACL, but so many people Achilles. Are like, there's no way. Do you have either of you two? Because I'm so Samich. Confused by just everybody being shocked. That's right, Samich.
The thing about that injury was, like, you remember Boogie Cousins, you remember Kevin Durant, right? There's so many of these guys, and I think it's just that it's a grueling rehab for that injury. Remember Buster Posey? That's what he got hurt with. Yeah. It's such a little tiny muscle or ligament that controls so much. I think that's the issue with it. It's so difficult to rehab because you use it every step you take and every breath you take as well.
Is that the police?
Yes.
Is your boy Dr. Jack Andrews still over there hanging out with Sigmund Freud putting together ACLs? Remember for our whole entire lives when anybody had an ACL, they're like, well, you got to go down south and see Dr. Jack Andrews in Alabama. There's no chance he's still doing it, correct?
I'm pretty sure he is.
He's
got to
be more innovative. Is he?
He did my brother's shoulder surgery like 10 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, we don't know how it happened. My brother's 5'7". He threw like 75 miles an hour. And somehow Dr. James Andrews is cutting his shoulder open.
Oh, I said Dr. Jack. My bad. Yeah, Dr. James Andrews.
Jack,
did your brother get on a wait list like specifically to get James Andrews? Or was it just insurance told him to go to?
Our insurance said he was the best guy nearest to them. They're in Atlanta, in Birmingham. And because he was it was a baseball injury in college baseball. Somehow Dr. James Andrews is doing it. Then the next day he's like operating on like Matthew Stafford. Okay. I'm not joking. I think the next day he operated on Matthew Stafford.
Well, I mentioned the AFC with the seven. So the Steelers are still in, boys. The Steelers, we've been jockeying Mike Tomlin for a while on the show. Maybe getting boat raced by Arizona and weather delays. The Steelers had 9 penalties. You mentioned the quarterback injury. They were out. They actually outgained for the second straight game. They outgained Arizona, but got beat 24-10. Now, you can look at it one of two ways with Mike Tomlin. His team's in the postseason, but that's what they're capable of. So you can either say Tomlin did a horrible job getting the Steelers ready to play the Cardinals, who are sitting on 3 wins, or what happened yesterday in Pittsburgh explains how brilliant Tomlin is having this putrid team already sitting 7-5, even if they can put a performance like that at home against the Cardinals.
I tell you what, the running game looked like it was starting to go, but the problem really yesterday was defensively. They give up a 99-yard drive to Kyler Murray and company, and then a couple of turnovers. They didn't play bad defensively overall. There were 2 short drives by Arizona in that second half that led to their 2 scores, but Trubisky coming in for Pickett, who had high ankle surgery today. He'll be back, expected in about a few weeks, 3 to 4 weeks potentially. I just think it's over for the Steelers. The fact that this team's going to end up winning 9 games this year is an incredible just credit to that team and that organization.
You know, Mike Tomlin's never won Coach of the Year. That's the only hope I have going for my ticket right now. He's never been Coach of the Year. I think the problem for him this year in winning it, and my ticket might not have legs anymore, is D'Amico Ryans is in the mix. Shane Steichen's in the mix. LaFleur is in the mix. O'Connell, and there's a guy at 75-1 that I don't think is totally out of it. His team is postseason bound, and they lost their quarterback. That's Kevin Stefanski. I know they got killed yesterday, but he's not out of it at 75-1.
I don't think they're postseason bound necessarily, though.
Well, they're currently, what, the 6th seed?
Well, you got a glut of teams in the AFC, right? You've got potentially 9 teams in the AFC that could get into that spot, including the Chargers and Raiders at 5-7. Let's go ahead and eliminate Cincinnati, because I think that's why I love Fezzik's play tonight, Patrick, in the contest. I think he's going to be in first place after this game. What an opportunity at 8.5 with the Jaguars against the Cincinnati team. I feel like they've got so many guys that are under Sam Hubbard signed a long-term contract. Trey Henderson's on that team. They know they're not going anywhere. I feel like, I'm not suggesting or implying they're quitting, but it's like, guys, we're not going to where we want to go, which is the Super Bowl. What an opportunity for the Jaguars.
Dustin, your ticket there, Coach of the Year, with Mike Tomlin should stand up, because Steelers fans are celebrating that Kenny Pickett didn't go on the IR so he could come back. When you're celebrating the return of Kenny Pickett and your team's 7-5, who's a better coach?
I agree.
Tomlin is like MJ at the end of the finals in like 98, holding on to his shorts when they lose to the Cardinals, because he turns around. He's like, what do you expect me to do? I've got this team 7-4 coming into this one. They're garbage. Yeah, we had 9 penalties. Yeah, the weather was atrocious. But it also goes to show you, even though they didn't play that great, just a dynamic quarterback. What a difference maker. You know, somebody like Kyler, even though we don't love him, just what a difference maker and different dynamic he can bring game to game.
Well, he's kind of showing the difference between what Josh Dobbs is and what like a real franchise quarterback is. Say whatever you want about Kyler, whether he can win a Super Bowl or not. It's very obvious the skill is there to be a franchise quarterback. He's just kind of the example of what happens when you take that guy who's kind of the in-betweener and give them a legit guy. Look, I hope you're right. I hope this team can reel off a few more wins. I think the schedule looks pretty good for them to be able to do so. Obviously, the Patriots on Thursday night is a fantastic opportunity for Mitchell Trubisky to get a victory. Going to the Colts won't be easy, but they're always playing these tight games in Indy. The Bengals are donezo. I think we got a chance here. I'm a little nervous. I might need to get down on someone else, though, in this Coach of the Year market. It's just everyone who's good to me has shortened up a lot.
I tell you one thing with Kenny Pickett. As bad as he's been, he hasn't turned the ball over in 8 games. And when you don't turn the ball over, you're going to have a chance to be able to win some football games. So credit to him in that sense. But to me, when I look at these, you mentioned Kyler Murray. I thought when he came back to Arizona, you know, the Cardinals were that fade team in Survivor. Now it's become the Carolina Panthers. Not that Murray's going to win a ton of games for you, but he does still keep them competitive. And you saw his dynamics in play yesterday, his scrambling ability, as good as TJ Watt, even though he got banged up, and that defensive front tends to be. He puts a lot of pressure on a defense.
Yeah, if you're a Steelers quarterback like Pickett, the only thing you need to do is don't turn the ball over, because when you turn around, you see Najee Harris behind you. You're good. Hey, big guy, goodbye, sweet prince, to your guy, Joshua Dobbs. He's had a shorter 15 minutes than Snooki.
My God,
did he fall quickly, huh?
Hey, all we can ask for is a magic run like that. It reminds me a little bit, though, of Linsanity.
Linsanity. Reminds me of that dude that was singing, like, remember the viral video of that guy, like, pants on the ground, pants on the ground, pants on the ground.
I thought you were going to go
whatever happened
Hung.
To that guy.
I thought you were going to go
Josh Dobbs.
Yeah.
Like, love, loathe. Next.